Have your way in your house and in our hearts. That all that we do and say here today will be to your praise, to your honor, and to your glory. We ask you now to speak into your manservant that he might speak for you and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And that somebody in this sanctuary will go home uplifted, drawn closer to you, daring to hold fast to our faith in Christ as we travel life's uneven journey. Guide us now to that end, if you will, and we will be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I greet you standing in the stead of our Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Gosen, and our pastor to come, Pastor Warner. Indeed, I am one of the people standing in the gap. and all is well as we continue in Christ Jesus. I thank the musicians and the choir and all they're doing. Won't you give them a hand as we lift them up? I would ask you to turn to a very familiar, well, familiar probably to some of us, and probably even most of us. Luke, the 15th chapter. Our text is from verse 11 to 24, but I'm going to only read this morning verses 15 to 20 and trust that you have read or will read the remainder. If you're able, won't you rise to your feet as we lift up the word of God together. For many of us, we know this is the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the lost son. Beginning at verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no man gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and even more to the doing of his holy word. Amen. As I said moments ago, most of us are familiar with our text this morning. It is the parable of the prodigal son. This story, this parable, is one of three parables that Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke is telling each parable with deliberate intentionality. Jesus is being very intentional about what he is saying. He is speaking to a Jewish audience. Some are considered the outcast. The others are the holy folks. And Jesus is intentionally speaking to both. And the focus of Jesus' teaching is about God's love for the lost. Jesus is the master storyteller. I just love it when Jesus said, "Let me tell you a story." Because he teaches those things of the kingdom. And he puts it in earthly language so we can get a hold to it. Jesus' audience is the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. The publicans and the sinners are the hopeless. The Pharisees and the scribes are the righteous. And Jesus is sitting with publicans and sinners. He's sitting with them. Publicans, lest we run by that, were the lowest scum and below scum of Israel. They were the tax collectors. And Jewish folks would not even walk on the same side of the street with them. And even more, it was said that a self-respecting Jew would not dare spit on a publican, for they would filthy their spit. And yet, Jesus is preparing to sit down and break bread with publicans and all kinds of folk who are sinners. They were in their present condition. He didn't say, "Come when you get right." He said, "Come to right that you might get saved." He sat down with publicans and sinners and folks who other folks wouldn't come near. And for that, he drew the ire of the Pharisees and the scribes, the folks who knew the law but didn't keep it. They knew it, but they didn't keep it. It is much like some of us who preach and teach. We know the book. I'll leave it there. And the Pharisees were not going to let it go unnoticed that Jesus was hanging out with filth and calling himself the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah of Israel, hanging out with thieves, liars, whoremongers, robbers, you name it. There were some of them sitting around the table. I don't know about you, but I feel comfortable with some of them, not by myself, but. They said, "This man It's okay. We're receiving messed up folk. As these words fell on the ears of the Holy One of God, this isn't in Scripture, but I can see Jesus laughing. It's not in Scripture, so it doesn't say Jesus laughed, but I can see him laughing because he could see through the Pharisees. And he could see through the scribes. Unless we forget it, he can see through us as well. But I ain't gonna stay there too long. But he can look through us, and he knows who we are and what we're up to. And so Jesus said, I want to tell you a parable. I want to tell you some stories. And he chooses to tell three parables. One about a lost sheep. A man had 100. He could account for 99, but he lost one. And he went looking for it. Now, you have to keep in mind, Jesus is intentionally telling stories that people can relate to. He's intentionally. They know about shepherds and sheep. Any good shepherd will go after their sheep. David said, a bear and a lion came messing with my sheep, and I got busy with him and took him out of their mouth. Any good shepherd will go after anybody who messed with their sheep. David opened the 23rd Psalm with the Lord is my shepherd, so I'm God's sheep, and God will take care of me. Then he talked about this woman who had 10 coins. Now you got to understand, for a woman to have 10 coins was serious money. So very likely she was a working widow. And she lost one of them. And one of the coins was a day's wages. So she had to go looking for it. And she found it. And she asked folks to rejoice with her, just like the shepherd who found his sheep. But when we get down to verse 11, you know, I like it. Jesus escalates. He does it in a way that you can't miss what he's saying. He's intentionally raising the ante on both righteousness and for those who are lost. He's intentionally doing it. I know y'all in here are too saved to even know anybody playing the dozen when y'all were coming up, but Jesus starts to play a little bit of the dozen with the Pharisees. He's talking about them to their face. He's using the proper scripture and the language, but he's talking about them, saying, you ain't all you think you ought to be. That's what he's saying. He said, you're playing God, and you think God doesn't know it. So, well, let me tell you a parable about a man who had two sons. One that was problematic, and the other who was holy. Who was righteous. He said, I want to tell you about him. And he goes on. And he outlines how the younger boy, who was the problem, really did not manage his life well. He had a bit of arrogance about him, and he went to his daddy and said, give me my portion of your money. Give me my portion of your money. But that was Jewish custom. The older boy got 2/3. The younger boy gets 1/3. So he, by all legal rights, had a right to a portion of what his daddy was going to give him after he died. But he wanted his. And right now. And Jesus is intentionally including all of this stuff, because the Pharisees will understand. And he says, the younger boy, he took his portion, took it down to the bank and cashed it in. And with all of his money, he went off to a Jewish, a Gentile land and started the party. Some of you don't understand that, but he was partying like it was 1999. Y'all don't understand that. He was enjoying himself. He having a good time. And then he ran his hand in his pocket. Wasn't nothing there. He looked into his stash. I know y'all don't know nothing about that, but wasn't nothing there. Realized he was both broke and busted. He had squandered his inheritance in a Gentile land. And then famine came. He couldn't find food and he was penniless. And we took a job. Took a job. Jewish boy. From a good family. Took a job. Feeding swine. Can you see Jesus telling that story? Jesus knows the word of God. He knows the literature of Israel. It says in the Holy Writ, any man who has to feed swines is cursed. So Jesus whips that in there. So they'll know he's talking to them as well. And he's now feeding swines. And he's jealous of what the swines eat. So by the time he gets to verse 17, the scripture says, and he came to himself. Yeah, he came to himself. Pray with me as I attempt to make clear the sermon topic. Divine insight from the depths of despair. Divine insight from the depths of despair. The prodigal son had received all of his inheritance. He was now broke because I know you all aren't going to understand this, so just let it go right over here because you don't even know what I'm talking about. But most of the time when you give somebody something that they haven't earned, they don't understand the value of it. They don't understand what it took to get that, and they treat it like it's nothing. But no, y'all don't understand that, huh? Here he is in a Gentile land. broke, out of cash, no money, no food, nowhere to stay, and a job feeding hogs. And he's jealous of the hogs. Folks were watching him too close, so he couldn't steal any hog food. Because the scripture said he would have eaten it had he got a chance. Now that's scripture. But the other feeders, no doubt, was watching him. So he couldn't, slip a corn cob on the side, roll it up in his robe. And when he get back to the, whatever the cutout was he slept, he could. But that would have been stealing, y'all wouldn't have. But scripture says he came to himself. Now it, scripture does not say this, but I say he saw his reflection in the bottom of the hog trough. And he realized he looked worse than the hogs. You know, sometimes God got to show us ourselves. Show us like we really are. Because sometimes we will pretend that things are not what they are. So we can keep on slip and sliding by. We don't want to face the reality of what's happening. But this Jewish boy who was feeding swine, he came to himself. And scripture says he remembered where he was from. He wanted to. He said, I messed up. He knew enough about the God of glory to know he had sinned. He knew enough about the way his father raised him to know he was going wrong. He knew enough about his situation that he understood he had messed up big time. He was busting the bottom out of the bottom. And he needed mercy. He had arrived at the place where it was nobody but him and God. You know, and that's often good for us, especially if we're going the wrong way. You see, because God shows up at that point when our messy lives needs his mercy. And that's the place we can turn around. John says that if we confess our sins, God will be just and faithful in forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And so the prodigal son, he had rehearsed what he was going to say in the midst of his misery. A young man who was the prodigal had been caught up in all the stuff that he wanted to do. He had gotten caught up in all of what he thought he might enjoy. He had gotten caught up and all the stuff that could lead to his destruction, but what he had not thought about was what it was going to cost him to be there. And so Jesus was not only talking to the publicans and the sinners, he's now talking to the Pharisees, and so that they could understand. We, like the prodigal son, sometimes have to come to that place where their life is so messy and we've gotten ourselves into so much trouble that we can't find our way out. I knew a young man one time who was living large. And He got up, got caught up in some stuff, and he lost his money. And he was just bouncing around from pillar to post. And ultimately, he would find himself in a very tight situation. And if he kept on going the way he was going, there wasn't going to be many more tomorrows. And so one night, he got down on his knees. And he started telling God what God already knew. He started telling God how messy his life was and how he had hit rock bottom. But if God would give him just one more chance, not a second chance, one more chance. You know, we often say a second chance. None of us would have made it with just a second chance. And sure enough, the young man kept his word and got his life straight. So the prodigal son, he says, I'm going to my daddy. And I'm going to tell him that his teachings out of God's word resonates in my soul. I've messed up. I've sinned against God and you, daddy. And I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I don't even want you can take away my last name and call me something else. And I'll be all right with that. But daddy, while I'm begging, will you give me a job? Because that's really all I want. I didn't see what life looks like from a hog pen. I've seen what life looks like from a hog trough. And whatever you give me, we'll be all right with me. And he had been rehearsing his lines. He got up out of the hog trough and said, I'm heading home now, at least to my daddy's house. And he started out. I can see him going through the Gentile land, raggedy clothes, smelling like a hog, but heading to his daddy's house. And scripture says, his daddy looked up far, and he was still far off. I said, that's my boy. And he could see he was not in good shape, and he had compassion on him. Still my boy. He said, Dad, broke into a gape. Started in a trot, and then he broke into a sprint. He said when he got to him, he fell up on his neck, smelling like hog, and raggedy as all get out, and started kissing him on the neck and hugging him and thanking him, glad to see him. Because that's my boy. He stench has a stench of hogs. Clothes are raggedy. But he's still my boy. Can you hear Jesus talking to the Pharisees? It says, the Father on that day proved three things. One was the Father loved his son. The second was the Father was often looking for his son. And the third was, his father would accept his son in any condition if he came back. Oh, I love the song, Just As I Am, I Come. I don't have to make nothing up. I'm going to my daddy. He taught me right. It's not his fault. I'm going to my father. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to tell God I'm sorry. All I want is a job. I don't even want to be called your son anymore. But scripture says he had compassion on him. just so we can come to a common understanding of what that term means this morning. It means he knew his son was wrong, and he loved him anyhow. He knew his son had messed up, and he loved him anyhow. That's what compassion means. And so he went running to him. Oh, I can see him running up the road with his robe in the air and running in full gallop. Divine compassion is about God knowing who we are and loving us anyway. I don't know about you, but I have not grown up perfectly. I have had a few issues over life. For some of you who read my book, you know, one of the persons who read my book came up to me one day and said, "Dr. Jackson," I said, "Yes." They said, "I've read your book." I said, "That's very good." They said, "I don't believe that you're saved yet." Well, and I'm so glad they're on earth and not in heaven, so I'm all right. I'm all right. I have a lifelong friend looking at me this morning, and she's smiling, so I'm going to leave it there. But David says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Slow to anger and plenteous mercy. He said he's like a father who pitieth his children, so that the Lord pitieth them who fear him and love him. And Jeremiah said, in spite of it all, God's mercies are new every morning. Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes, as well as the publicans and the sinners, that God the Father, he never stops loving his children. Okay, how far we fall, God is still reaching for us. I'm not much longer, I'll be through. The son began to recite all he had been rehearsing. "Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've sinned against God and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son." The father is kissing him. Oh, that's got to be rough. Smelling like hog, and he started kissing him and hugging him. And he turns around to one of the servants who followed and said, "Bring him the best robe. Put it on him. Bring him a ring, the family signature, and put it on his fingers. Give him some shoes. Get his bare feet up off the ground, because he's my son, and he's repented, and he's returned, and he wants a relationship again with me. He's still my son. In spite of all that he's been through, in spite of all that he's done, he's still my son." And immediately, the father made a place for his son back in the family. Jesus is telling the Pharisees, you can't sink lower than God's love. God's love will pursue you. He will come for you. He will keep reaching out to you. He said there's an immediate response from God when the lost returns to him. It doesn't measure how much you messed up. He just wants to hear how much you want to return, how much you want to get back into the family. When you fall prostrate and say, "Lord, forgive me," you add the rest. Whatever it is that you need. It said the word declares we are restored to the family of God when we repent and come to God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to think of any special words. All you need to say is, Father, I'm sorry. I know I've messed up. If you just give me another chance. Paul says, what can separate you from the love of God? Life, death, things present, things to come, a hog trough, misstep, whatever it might be. What can separate you? The prodigal son had come home hoping for mercy and a job. But he came home and found his place in the family. Jesus says to his Jewish audience, I don't care how righteous you think you are, you need to come by God's standards. You see, those words were words of hope for the hopeless, which were the publicans and the sinners, those who fall short of the glory of God, sinners looking for a Savior. No matter how far you've fallen, you can't fall beyond God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's reach. I don't care how messed up you are. God can reach you. Oh, scripture said they killed a fatted calf and they had a celebration. And heaven was rejoicing over the sinners that got saved. The father rejoiced because the son who was dead was now back. And Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, have you found your way back to the Father? I know you know the law, but do you know anything about love? I know you know how to read the book, but do you know how to bless lives? I know you know all the things that need to be said in the temple, but does the spirit of the temple live in you? You see, that's what we have in church sometimes. We know all the right stuff, you know, but if somebody coming in doesn't look just like us, and you know, you can sit over there next to her or sit over there next to him, but not next to me. Those of us who are saved, somewhere in our lives, we've had a hog trough experience. I don't need you to tell me about it. The Lord already knows. That we realize that we were not right with the Father all the time. And mercy pleaded our case when hell should have been our home. Our hog trough decision is the turning point often in our lives. Like the prodigal son, he moved from death to light, from chaos to peace, from rags to restoration, from wrong to reconciliation, from brokenness to being blessed. You see, the first step in this decision-making process is to tell God, I've messed up. Lord, forgive me. I don't have anything to offer except my life. And I want to give that to you. You see, that's where we are in this text, really. Oh, you can go on beyond verse 24, and there's a conversation with the older son. But that's really designed just for the Pharisees. But the first 11 to 24 is designed for both the Pharisees, the publicans, and the sinners. And so the question for you and I this morning, do you and I need to get right with God? Do we need to tell God something that he already knows? He's just waiting on you and I to confess it and get right with him. Set things right in his house. Set right things right in your heart. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know. I don't need to know, because if I knew, there's nothing I could do about it, most likely. But I want to point you to the one who told the story. You see, he's still welcoming sinners. He's still welcoming folks who are messed up. He's still welcoming not only folks who mess with hogs, but folks who lie and steal and cheat and murder and do drugs and cheat on the other person. All that. He knows all of that. But he's still welcoming us to come in. You see, the prodigal made a decision in the depths of despair. It was a divine decision in the depths of despair. I don't know about you, but I want to invite you this morning to make a decision right where you are in life. Jesus said, you don't have to get ready to come. Just come as you are. Come right now. And God will bless you. If you're able, won't you stand?